Fanning, weekend on 2FM.
Okay, Paul Whittington from The Independent talking movies. Paul, how are you doing? Are you all right?
Not too bad, thanks, Dave.
Come on yourself. Right, what have we got this weekend?
Two big Oscar films, Dave. I think you've seen one. You might have seen two of them. Promising Young Woman is the first one, and Sound of Metal is the other.
I saw that too, yeah. In fact, it's funny we're talking about metal, and there we go again. Okay, so which one are you going for first?
Well, the natural segue would be Sound of Metal, but I'm awkward, Dave, so I'm going to go with a Promising Young Woman. Did you? I saw this. I first saw this about a year ago. That's how long ago the intended release was. I think it's a very powerful film. It's been sort of somewhat divisive, but I think it's very clever. What did you make?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it shifted the tone an awful lot in it. You never really knew, especially what's your man's name, Bo, whatever his name is. Unbelievable. In the middle, you think it's the nicest guy, and you just go, okay, where's this going? And then there's so many shifts towards the end that I think some people might go, I don't know. But I must say, I thought it was pretty powerful. All right, that's right. I mean, is it unfair to say it's a Me Too revenge thriller?
I don't think it is. I'm not so sure it has to do with the Me Too with the Me Too thing, although it's been connected with it. It is. It's a genre picture. It is a revenge thriller, a rape revenge thriller, basically. And Emerald Fennell, who wrote and directed it, did that deliberately so that it reaches a wider audience. And it's made in a very entertaining way. It's very funny, and it's been criticized for that, but the humor actually it just underlines the seriousness beneath it. And I think Carey Mulligan's brilliant in it, and she plays this woman called Cassie Thomas, who was a medical student with a sort of bright future, and now she's 30 odd, she lives with her parents, works in a coffee shop, and she seems to have given up on achievement in her own life, and she's obsessed with avenging the death of a friend of hers who was raped and then committed suicide when they were in college together. The opening scenes are very clever. She basically hangs out in bars pretending to be drunk, and these supposed knight chevaliers turn up to bring her home, but of course they're not interested in that. They're going to try and take advantage of her, and then she sobers up suddenly, and it's very affecting when she does that, and she says some quite funny things to them too. But it all gets very serious when she finds out that the guy who did the crime, who raped her friend, is back in America, and she decides to take proper revenge on everybody who's involved. And one of the interesting things about it is that she sort of destroys herself in the process. She's kind of like, without giving it to her, she's a martyr to the cause.
And the interesting part of it is that she doesn't get any real satisfaction at any stage at all, and she's trying to heal these kind of emotional wounds of the past, and she goes about it in a kind of an odd way, and that makes the movie very good, very different.
I agree entirely, and most of these kind of revenge films are, we're often seeing, the Avenger is a male and is greatly enjoying all this kind of violence. It's nothing to do with that. It's destroying. She's destroying her at the same time as she's getting her revenge. I think the underlying themes are obvious. Why is the concept of consent so difficult for men? And I think that subject could be turned into a very worthy, very boring film, and this is not that film at all. It's very entertaining. It's very funny. Yeah. It's very unsettling. It's lots of things at once, which is
and
great,
at least two different kind of endings. Almost, you think it's over at one stage, and it's actually very interesting the way it goes. All right,
it really is quite
powerful, and you certainly aren't going to guess what's going to go on. Okay, so that's Promising Young Woman, and that's complete thumbs up from you, and that's up for a bunch of Oscars. In fact, interesting you should say there that Emerald Fennell, who directed it, is she plays, what do you call him? His wife in The Crown,
Camilla Parker Bowles.
Camilla Parker Bowles,
who I'm sure was very flattered by having her portray her,
She's also now the first female British director ever to be nominated for an Academy Award as Best Director.
Yes, and this is the first year ever that two women are in the Best Director
obviously,
category.
Yeah, obviously that would be a Nomadland.
Chloe Zhao, who I think will win and should win. But Emerald Fennell has every right to be there, and I'd like to see it win a couple of things at least, because it's a very strong film.
Okay, we've got 4 or 5 minutes, so let's see what's the next one. The next one's The Sound of Metal, you say, right?
Which you also have seen.
I have, yeah. And I think it's very good. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Liam Mann is astonishing. I think he should win Best Actor. I really do, Riz Ahmed.
Yeah, and he's up against the late Chadwick Boseman, which is his problem. But in a normal year, you'd think he would, because he's been very good in other things, you know. But I just think he's exceptionally good in this.
I mean, he's been in. You might have seen him in Sisters, Brothers, or Rogue One. I never saw Rogue One, or The Night Of on TV.
The Night Of. Yeah,
and people go on about Jason Bourne too. That last one of that, but I what he was best in. He was fantastic in. With Jake Gyllenhaal in Nightcrawlers, you know, the one which is on Netflix, actually.
It's the one of the paparazzi,
and it's the way, it's the scene where Jake Gyllenhaal, I'm not really giving it away necessarily, where Jake Gyllenhaal lets him die. Oh my God, just to get the shot. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's just,
he's great
what
enough.
A psychopath. But anyway, and Riz Ahmed is just in the gig going, oh yeah, I'll do this. Oh, he's fantastic in it. Anyway, he's very good in this, and most of the time he's very good by just his face, not saying anything.
Yeah, exactly, because the story, he's a drummer, and he's in this sort of death metal type a band with his girlfriend Lou, who's played by Olivia Cooke, and they tour America in this sort of customized RV and doing small gigs, and it all seems to be grand, but he begins to notice that his health is going, and or his hearing's going, and first he thinks he's like, you know, blocked nose or something, but then he goes to a doctor and he's told he's lost 80% of his hearing in either ear, and that he has to stop playing music straight away. So being a man, he gets into complete denial and goes back and plays a gig, and then he completely blows his hearing and he's gone, he's got nothing. So he is an addict also, and so is she, so that's a problem. As soon as he starts smoking a cigarette, she's onto this guy called Joe, who's played by Paul Rassi, who runs, he's a Vietnam veteran, and he runs this center, an educational center for deaf people. But it's run on kind of ideological lines. You know, he believes that being deaf is not a handicap, it's not something you need to fix, it's just something that you have to get used to. And so Ruben goes there, Riz Ahmed's character, and he learns sign language and he learns lots of good things, and he seems to be fitting in. But all the while, he's determined to raise money for this cochlear implant, which he thinks will turn everything back to normal, but of course it doesn't.
Yeah, indeed. And I think, as I say, he's brilliant in it. And I think, like, it's just his whole face, a real emotional journey for him. And it's just this blank look on him all the time. Very passionate movie, very vulnerable guy, and very intense, the whole thing. But it does work for him. But obviously, by the way, I presume, I don't know, I didn't look at the sound, what do you call it?
If that doesn't win, there'll be.
And obviously, it's going to win best sound. I mean,
the sound production is a huge part of the film. And it's so imaginative because. You go into deafness with him, as it were, and then occasionally the camera flits outside his kind of focus, and you hear birds sing and grass rustle, and you realise all that he's missing all the time. And then when he does, spoilers, when he does get the cochlear implant, the sound of metal is not the sound of the music they play at the start. It's the awful tinny sound
that
he hears when he's in a crowd. So he's left wondering if silence is not going to be preferable to it.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
The sound production is brilliant.
Yeah, indeed. And the last scene, my God. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. What I was going to say, it could have been a gimmick, could have been Disease of the Week, and it most certainly isn't. It's very painful and very moving and really well done. And your man is great, isn't it? He's just fantastic. Listen, Paul, we got to go because it's time to get out of here. So listen, thanks a million, Paul.
Thanks, Dave.
From the Indo. Two big movies, no question about it.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.